maybe IB, maybe A-level, maybe whatever system you do, is all very stressful. For that, you actually need a good stress management strategy. Actually, more than strategy, is a skill. So, first we are going to be paying homage to the Buddha as we usually do to open, to start the class. And then I'm going to show you a video clip from England. There's a research project from Oxford University, how people use mindfulness in school. So, without further ado, we are going to pay homage to the Buddha. Would you all like to stand up and say together Namo Tassa? Okay, your palm together. Hold your palm. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Thank you. Please be seated. Please come here. Join them. Only two of them here. This is a video clip. You can find it on YouTube. Okay. Mindfulness in School Project. The sound. No sound, cut me out. Can you start once again? At Oxford University, there's a center called Mindfulness Center, Oxford Mindfulness Center, where people use meditation and clinical psychology and neurology, okay, to research.
To be honest, when I first took my mindfulness class, I didn't really understand it. Because, you know, you hear about those, like in the news and stuff, you just think it has no relevance to you. So I just wasn't paying attention at all. I was just, like, talking to my friends and doing whatever. And then, like, the second mindfulness class, I actually found it really, really helpful. And I started to use it in day-to-day life, like my brother, my homework.
Once you've done your homework, you just need a break, so you can't just lie down and sleep. It only takes like 10 minutes, so it's enough just to relax your brain.
So mindfulness is essentially about attention, and it's about being able to attend to whatever we choose to attend to and inhibit things that come into mind.
I'd say my best definition of mindfulness, it's not about developing fantastic meditative skills that you can sit for 3 hours and not engage in the world, but actually that allow you to recognize that emotional states are able to be controlled.
I'm a clinical psychologist by training. One of the things that is most striking about teaching mindfulness classes, I teach them within the NHS to people with recurrent depression, is it's incredibly energizing. So there's a lot of enthusiasm around mindfulness. There's interest in the media, there's interest in Westminster, right the way throughout the system. And what we're trying to do at the Universities of Oxford and Exeter and Bangor and other places is begin to make sure that some of the really fundamental questions we have around mindfulness are underpinned by good science. Last year, what we did was we ran a feasibility study with 522 young people in secondary schools. And what we found was that levels of stress and low-grade depressive symptoms went down in those who received the mindfulness training compared to the control groups. And what was most interesting about this study was at the time of greatest stress in the exam period, the difference between the mindfulness schools and the non-mindfulness schools became larger. So people seem to be able to use the mindfulness most at times of greatest stress.
when you know that it actually works, you will actually do it to try and help you. You won't just be doing it because you're told to. It's just another thing that you learn that can help you. Like, you know, when you first learn maths, you know, an equation, it helps you for your test. Or when you first learn science, it helps you for this, helps you for that. So I think this was an all-rounder and it helped you for everything.
You never realise how actually loud and, like, noisy your life is. You're constantly talking, someone's shouting somewhere, and it's, you just take a step back and realise, wow, how have I been doing this for so long?
In mindfulness, we were texting each other, dot B.
The dot stands for stop, and the B stands for, like, just be yourself, be in the moment, you know, and also breathe. Mindful actual texting your friends, so you don't have to say stop, read B, you just say, you know, dot B, which I think is quite smart to do. So, like, when your friends are saying, oh, I forgot to do my homework, you can just say dot B.
They love going home and teaching their parents about what they've learned. Mindfulness has been very well received among staff and teachers within the school, within the academy.
The next step is we will need schools to help us roll out mindfulness interventions in schools.
I would say to schools who've heard about mindfulness and are considering introducing it, don't start with a blanket approach. That starting with staff will prove its worth, and sharing that with children becomes much more natural.
As a child, I was incredibly anxious. I would have minor panic attacks about spelling tests. I would dread school, and I would find it difficult to sleep, quite highly strung, as an 8-year-old. Luckily, I've grown out of that quite a bit, but also mindfulness has played a huge part in that. Being able to just unwind me from the ball of stress that I allow myself to become, to think, right, take a moment, it's not that bad, it's going to be okay. So having that as a child in school would have done wonders for me, I think.
Thank you. So this is to show you what people in Europe and America are taking up, mindfulness as a skill. Here, you may view this as a religious practice, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the shortcoming is that, okay, people think it has nothing to do with them now. Maybe they can wait until they get a lot older. You see? But stress, would that wait for you? It wouldn't wait for you. Okay? As you grow up and you move to senior level, senior grade, you have only more and more stress. And, well, stress doesn't only come from school. Sometimes it comes from family. Some people, they have only one in their family. They are the only child. Some people two, some people three. Even among the siblings, there's a sibling library. Sometimes you think if your sibling gets more attention from your parents. And also in the school, if your friend gets more attention, you know, from others and that sort of thing. So from time to time, we feel insecure. And this happens because we are not yet totally enlightened emotionally. So these things, they have impact on us. They shape us, you know, what kind of person we become. And they also have sometimes detrimental impact on our learning. So I think the skill you need, what people call now is EQ, this emotional quotient. You know how to manage your emotion, to get to know your emotion, what are your emotion, and then to try to manage them. I'm just going to write down two words here. have I have written towards your self-awareness and social awareness. I'm talking about EQ. I'm talking about emotion. I'm talking about emotion awareness. Self-awareness is to know what's going on in our heart. The emotional state of our mind. If we are anxious, if we have a lot of worry, if we have a lot of insecure feeling, if jealousy comes in from time to time. So this is self-awareness, about knowing ourselves. Social awareness is knowing the people we come across. In the school, there's our friends, our classmates, our teachers. Sometimes your teachers, okay, they may have problems elsewhere and they may be under a lot of stress. As a result, what they say may be less than polite. Then, you know, it has nothing to do with you personally, but you are there to receive it. So you need to learn how to heal that. So, social awareness, at some time, okay, when you, after the school, if you go home, look at the face of your mom and dad. If they are smiling, if you know what kind of emotion they are going through. If they are under a lot of stress, a lot of telephone call, a lot, you know, busy all over the places, now you can also know what's going on in their heart. You know, you can imagine the kind of emotion they're experiencing. If you know that, you will be able to adapt to the situation. By doing that, you're helping them. You're helping them. This is what we say coexistence. So self-awareness and social awareness. And I'd like to bring in one simile, that one metaphor that I use from this book, from the Buddha's Brain. It's from this book. I'm going to modify the terminology a little bit. Share with a grey wolf and black wolf. That's a grey wolf and white wolf. Okay. If you think black and white is sometime politically not correct. Okay. Some people say it's racist. So we can set that word aside and we can just say grey wolf and white wolf. White wolf denotes positive emotion, like understanding. When someone is in emotional in turmoil, you understand that person. And whatever that person says, okay, you are able to tolerate that. So there's a lot of positive emotion in that. Resilience is, again, another. Resilience is another positive emotional quality. So here, the psychologists say we have two wolves inside. The Buddha would say in Burmese, he say kutu akutu. Psychologically, you can translate this: we have two wolves inside. We have the white one and the grey one. The white one is the skillful one. Actually, the word kudo in Pali means skillful one. Skillful mind. Skillful mind means you say something less than kind, you know, it's not very, directly, not very kind to me. If I know how to receive it with understanding, maybe you're under stress, maybe you're suffering from something, and if I understand it that way, I don't feel hurt anymore because I understand it. That's called skillful mind. If I don't have that skillful mind, I'm going to say, why me? Why are you saying this to me? And maybe, okay, I will reply maybe using a harsher words, you know. That's what people do. They think if you don't take any revenge, you're weak. So, two kinds of wolves in our hearts. One is the white one, the skillful one, the positive one. The other, the gray one. The gray one is all the negative emotion. Anger, jealousy, worry, all those things. Okay. We are going to do a bit of meditation, and after that, I'm going to distribute one book to each group, so that you can select a passage from this and discuss among yourself. You can select any passage from the book that you're given. Okay, I hope I have got enough books. If not, maybe it will be one or two more short. That's okay. So, first, we are going to do some meditation. You have seen how people do meditation in the school. Now this is a school environment, and we are going to be doing this. I'd like to consult with you. Okay, your is the most senior class today. The most junior class, okay, they meditated 4 minutes, 4 minute session, and the second one they meditated 8 minutes. So how long you think you should meditate? That's how long you think? 12 minutes? Earlier they double, okay? If you double, that's 16 minutes. So how long, you know, I'd like to ask you? 10, okay. And what about you? 12 minutes. 14. I have a lot of work to kind of, you know, compromise. What about you, your class? How long you think we should meditate? 10. Earlier, one of the boys suggested that we meditated 1 hour. Really, he did say that. He said that. I suggest, okay, we meditated 16 minutes, but into two sessions, okay? One session, 8 minutes. Okay? 8 minutes. I actually want to do less. So, just to give you the idea, meditation doesn't have to be long. But it should be a skillful one. Very targeted one. What you're going to target, you're going to target your emotion. If it is very targeted, 3 minutes is very effective. Even 3 minutes is very effective. If you're going to do 8 minutes, it's even better. Okay, today you meditate with me for 8 minutes. Maybe at home you do about 2-3 minutes. Okay. So, as you sit on the chair, so please put your you know, both feet on the floor, and put your feet together, and then keep your body upright, straight. This helps you to breathe smoothly, and then relax your body. Keep your palms on top of each other, and on your lap. Put them on your lap. Just lightly close your eyes. Start breathing in and out. I mean focusing on breathing in and out. Slow and gentle breathing. As you breathe in, you can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Slow and gentle breathing. As you breathe out, again, count 1, 2, 5. This is to practice attention. Meditation is the art of attention. As you breathe in, you can feel the air going into your nostril. You breathe out, you can feel the air again. Certainly have a wandering mind. Your mind will start thinking about tomorrow, maybe about your homework, your exam. That's okay. Don't suppress your thought. Do not suppress your thought. Instead, be gentle with your thought. Acknowledge them as they are. Acknowledge them as automatic thought. This is automatic thought. This is automatic thought. And then return to the breathing, the awareness of breathing, breathing in and out, slow and gentle, counting 1, 2, 5. If you see any emotion popping up, don't fight with that emotion. Don't try to chase it away. Instead, we use mindfulness to acknowledge it, to accept it, to pay sufficient attention to that. With that emotion. If there is worry, register that this is worry, this is worry, worry is like this. Just go through that experience mindfully. The automatic thought, the emotion associated with them, they are your meditation object. They are the function of the mind. No need to fight with them. No need to run away from them either. Instead, acknowledge them with compassion. Acknowledge them with understanding. Reassure yourself it's okay to have wandering mind, it's okay. It's also okay to have emotion, positive or negative, it's okay. Breathe in and out, slow and gentle. if you learn how to breathe from your tummy, rising and falling on the tummy, that helps even better with stress management. When you breathe in, you can feel the tummy rising. Then the falling of the tummy. Slow and deep breathing. Every time your mind wanders off, remember to bring it back to breathing. Okay, it's 8 minutes now. Thank you. We're going to just read books to you. I don't know which book you will get, but okay, one table, one book, so that way. You have some choices to choose at the beginning. Some we have to start from the back. There is only one book for three of you, so you can read together. Just and then select one passage or one sentence, whatever you agree. Discuss about that, and then I hope you wish to share with the whole class. If you have any question about what you have chosen, the passage you have chosen, I'm very happy to help you. Look at the contents, okay? Look at the contents. There might be many other things that interest you. Look at the contents also, the title, the contents. is very similar to your school project. You select one passage and you ask yourself why. You can relate to others, you know, how it makes sense to you. have 5 more minutes. Okay? 5 more minutes. Okay, are you ready? If you would like to come to the front, you know, group by group, one after another, and share your understanding, your choice and your understanding, that would be very positive to the whole group, to the whole class, because it would take us a long time to learn all this. But now we share the responsibility of learning and brainstorming. And by sharing this, we are actually helping each other. So which group is coming first? Okay, come. Can come in, please come. No, I meant your group. No? I thought you were ready. Eh? Not yet. Okay, not yet. It's okay. Okay, please come. Come, please come. You can join him, please. Come as a group. Come as a group, please. Which way you're coming out? Maybe you need to... Okay. Please come in. Yeah, you can begin. You can introduce the book and your choices.
So we read the book called Mindfulness, Emotional Intelligence by Harvard Business Press. Yeah. So we went with the chapter on the avoidance risk. And we believe that mindfulness should not be used to avoid problems, but rather enhancing your abilities to think such problems, to tackle such problems. And we should not accept life in its own terms. I quoted directly from the book. And
I also
it's the last chapter.
The last chapter in the book is the group risk. It's meaning like if you force mindfulness onto other people, and then participants will usually do it, will feel like they dread the exercise. And in the book, it also said, like, instead of reducing the stress levels, people actually felt more stressed when they were forced to do it.
Also, it's stated that mindfulness should not be used as a retreat from career challenges or ethical dilemmas. And stress is meant to be self with greater self-reflection, which is like mindfulness, and not with a mindful retreat, when using mindfulness as a way to retreat from,
I think you made a very good point, because sometimes people use meditation and mindfulness as a way to retreat from problem, not facing it, rather as an escape. The Buddha didn't do that. The Buddha was using mindfulness actually to face the problem of the whole world. So the main point is mindfulness to enhance the ability to tackle with problem and not to run away from it. Thank you. Next group. Repeat next. Who would like to follow? Okay, please come. Please come.
So, as a group, we read this book called Alter Traits. From this, we chose a few quotes that we would like to share.
Yeah. In one of the chapters, it says, a subset, for those of you who don't know, a subset is like a category or a part of a large group. And a subset of healthy states applies to both mind and body, flexibility, adaptability, and pliancy. Pliancy is also about like flexibility, meaning that both your mind and your body needs to be engaged when concentrating on mindfulness. It's not just your mind. You have to like put an effort for both your mind and your body. So that's what the quote basically says. There was another quote.
There's another quote we chose. It's, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
So it's basically talking about how, it's not like a quote directly from the book. It's about how someone said, one of the authors of the chapter, I think, stated this quote. That was their opinion, and it's about how they, you can't just accept everything that comes to you just because, like, God says it. You need to try understanding it. You need to try thinking about it deeply. So that's basically it. And you need wisdom in order to determine if it's correct or if you should believe in it.
Thank you.
The code, okay. The wisdom to accept what you can't change and to give you the courage what you can change. Actually, both of them in mindfulness practice we would call acceptance. Acceptance doesn't mean just okay, passive acceptance. You don't do anything about that. No, it doesn't mean that. Acceptance is about recognizing of things as they are and then see what you can do, how to improve it. Okay, next. Okay. How about the other way?
You can introduce the book. So the book we're reading is called Resilient by Rick Hansen, and in page 137, they talk about a metaphor based on paper tigers.
And the first one is, believe there is a tiger in the bushes when there isn't one.
The second one is, believe there is no tiger when one is about to pounce. So the first one basically is put it in like a situation we can relate to. Like last week, I was paranoid about a quiz on Monday, when the quiz was actually on Wednesday. So it was like, believe there is a tiger in the bush when there is one.
And when we had a quiz on Wednesday, but we all thought it was on Monday, it's like, believe there is no tiger when one is about to pounce.
And we all failed the quiz. Thanks.
So the practice of mindfulness is to keep in touch with our own thought. If our own thought is actually making things up because of fear, or is trying to ignore something because it's very uncomfortable. So ignoring something because it's uncomfortable is like ignoring the tiger which is about to pounce on you. And fearing a tiger that is not there in the bush is like the habitual emotional reaction that keeps creating more and more fear. Okay, next.
So the passage, the book we talked is going to be talking about is called Working with Mindfulness. And on page 22, we chose a passage about being in the moment and achieving goals. This passage is talking about business and mindfulness and comparing and contrasting between them. And it talks about mindfulness encouraging us to focus on the at the present, while businesses encourage us to focus on the outcomes that will be in the future.
So this passage is encouraging us to like use the practices of letting go and make the right judgments at the right time so that we can have the success we want in the future.
And to relate to our daily lives, we tend to think about what we should become in the future, our jobs, but then if you don't do good in our better lives, then you wouldn't become anything in your future. So this passage basically encourages you to focus more on your present than just thinking about your future and your future jobs.
Just 1 second. What you're saying, there is one word you may not, I'm not sure if you had this in this book. It's called result-oriented mind. Result-oriented mind is mind that is based on worry. It's always, in the future, at the expense of the present moment. Results-oriented, okay. If you go to uni, if you have to study 3 years, 4 years, 6 years, whatever your course dictates you, then results-oriented in you only care about the results. And you're not enjoying being a first-year student, being a second-year student, all the experiences that made you as a person, as a graduate. Because, this is your state of mind, which is result-oriented. So, mindfulness brings you back to the present moment. Thank you. Next. Which group is following? We have 4 already. Who would like to share next? ready? Are you ready? Yeah, please come. If you're ready. Because this book is very good. This book is one of my favorite books, published last year, 2017, Meditation as a Science, by two alumni from Harvard, who have become very famous. One of them is the author of Emotional Intelligence. The other is who researches on brain and mindfulness. Yes.
So we would like to present two quotes we took from the book. The first one is, our experience shapes our brains, a platform supporting our theory that as meditation trains the mind, it reshapes the brain. To rephrase this, I think it means that experiences can affect our thoughts and our minds and sometimes disturbs them. So through meditation, it can help reshape and trains the mind and the brain.
So the book basically talks about how meditation can repair the life experience that you had. For example, if since a child your parents have passed away in a car accident, then meditation would help repair that over time, and it helps reshape your mind, I guess. Yeah, thank you.
One of the author, Professor David Richardson, being someone who researches on neurology, so he focuses on the brain, and it says that what shapes the brain is the experiences. Then how can we improve our brain? We have to improve our mind. And how to improve our mind? Meditation. So this is a simple conclusion. Thank you. Okay, next. Who would like to share their work? Are you ready? You look ready to me. Come, if you
your happiness. So you have to accept the fact that things are just the way they are and things happen for a reason. Yeah.
So we found another quote too, and it says that be mindful of how you behave towards other people. So basically this talks about staying in the moment. Like, for example, you know, like it says that you should concentrate on listening with other person, like listening to the other person rather than focusing your thoughts on what you're going to say. And this goes with many aspects in our life. For example, in the discussion we just had, we're talking about the quote, like we're discussing. And there it's important to listen to what other people are saying too, rather than just focusing your mind on what you're going to say. And it also can go with like when you're having an argument with someone. It's important to listen to what other people are saying because sometimes it can be like misunderstanding. So yeah.
So for our last quote, we had this quote from... So we had this quote from Bodhidharma, and it's, worldly fools search for exotic masters, not realizing that their own mind is the master. So if you were talking about, say, inner peace, and you want to obtain inner peace, and you look for somebody that already has inner peace, and you try to get them to give it to you instead of trying to look for it within yourself. And I think that's really important to know. Thank you.
Just one second. I like to add one more thing. When you say about non-judgment, this is a very important aspect of mindfulness meditation, or what we say, the Dibbata in Burmese. Non-judgmental means, okay, not to add any value to it, good or bad. So if you feel jealous of someone, you just focus on, okay, this is jealousy. Jealousy feels like this. You just go through that mindfully. You go through that mindfully. You're not blaming yourself. And you're not blaming the other person. You see? When you're blaming yourself, the other person, you're actually adding a lot of value to it. So this is to say no value added to focus, or rather to just trying to see things as they are. As they are. In Burmese, from time to time, if you later in life, you will come across this word. They take from Pali, and this word is translated into the Yatha Buddha, that means things as they are. Okay, thank you. Okay, who is following? Okay. We are learning a lot from each other. This is wonderful. Okay. Not yet. Okay, you can wait a little bit more. The summary that you have captured, actually the code that you have chosen, actually they have given us the summary that are very important. So we can understand mindfulness, you know, in these six presentations. who would like to share the choice again, the choice of quotation? What about you? Are you ready? Are you ready? Not yet. Okay. What about you? Not yet. What about you? You're done. Are you okay? Ready? Not yet. Okay. What about you? Not yet, really. What about you? It doesn't have to be anything that you can share, from this book. From your own understanding, Okay. Are you ready? This is a very good book.
The book that I wrote was Meditation and Mindfulness, and the title was The Zombies. So I'm going to talk about walking meditations, and basically it's different from sitting meditation, and for people it may be uncomfortable at first, but it's basically when you give time and effort to something that you want to succeed and to achieve. Over time, after giving so much effort, it's like you can achieve something. And basically, after trying for so many times and after doing so much of it and giving so much of what you want, you can achieve something.
Well, if you understand meditation broadly, we may say yes. If you have a very narrow definition of meditation, maybe we need some qualification. Meditation, I mean, sitting or walking is just a form. Just a form. And the Buddha actually says, in all posture, that is standing, walking, sitting and lying down. In all those postures, we should cultivate our mind. The word meditation in Pali is what we use in Burmese, bhavana. Bhavana means cultivating the positive qualities for the mind. The word meditation is actually from early Christian practice, although Buddhism is more than 500 years older than that. But when the West came to study Buddhism, they just translated our practice as meditation. So there is non-Buddhist connotation to this this use, this terminology, meditation. Then sitting and walking, two forms of meditation. Well, when you sit, you can close as many doors as possible. We use the word door. Eyes is one door. Ears, another door. The door through which we receive information from the outside. We talk about experiences here. The experiences come through the eye, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind. We talk about six doors. Then when you sit, you can close your eyes, you close one door, you close your ears because you're not deliberately listening to anything. You can close your as many doors as possible. So by doing that, it's like if this room has six doors, if all the doors are open and I'm the only one looking after this, I may not be able to guard this place because I wouldn't know who comes in, who goes out. So it's a lot easier for me to close maybe five doors, maybe four doors, and then watch the rest. So when you do sitting, you can close more. But when you do walking, you can't close your eyes, for example. Yes, we do that with the dance. That's another form of meditation. You see, when you talk about listening to whatever goes on around you, this is to take the information through the ear door. It doesn't matter through which door you take in the information. What matters is how your mind reacts to that, the reaction pattern. Okay? If your mind is agitated, your mind is going to be fighting with anything that comes in. If your mind agitated with is annoying with someone else, again, your outlook or your view towards any information that comes in is not going to be objective because you are already agitated. Your mind is already dominated by negative emotion. So, basically speaking, it doesn't matter if it's sitting or walking or lying down. Some of the saying or what we say, Yahanda or Arahant in this, Yahanda, you know, they actually attain enlightenment between when they were lying down, one of them, before his head touches the pillow and his feet are already up the ground. So which posture is that? It's not sitting, it's not walking. This is to say we shouldn't be rigid with the posture. In Burmese, we will say diatane, diatane. This is a short form, this is a shorthand for meditation. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your question. Okay. Who's joining me for next? I can see you feel itchy. I'd like to join. Come on, if you like to. The whole group. Yeah. You can join him. You don't want to. Okay, you have nothing to say.
Okay, so I would like to talk about balancing your heartbeat. And it is said that a regular heart rate has small changes in the interval between the beats. So basically, it means that when you're feeling depressed, sad, then you feel pain, which is like maybe I think the decrease in your heart rate. And when you're like happy, then maybe your heart rate will increase. What I'm trying to say is that it's not only about the heartbeat. It's like your feelings, emotion, the change in your emotions, like anxiety, dread, worry, greed. And maybe if you recognize your fear or anything, then maybe you could manage it, like meditating, talking to the people around you, and relaxing your body.
this ties in with the earlier presentation of a mind body. If the heartbeat is the body, emotion is the mind, the function of the mind. So this is to show the relationship between them. And sometime by detecting the symptom in the body, you can actually improve your mind. Sometime by focusing on the mind, you can actually understand the body. So this is about interdependency between the mind and the body. Thank you. Thank you. I still have plenty of space here. Okay. Actually, each presentation improves our understanding. I'm very grateful to you for your effort.
The author used the letters to describe how people are treated differently at home in the world.
At home in the world. This is to feel at home wherever you are in the world. Thank you.
The author used letters to describe how people treat things differently.
And in the book, it says when you plant a lettuce and it doesn't grow, you don't blame the lettuce. Rather, you try to care for it and understand it in order for it to grow. And the author related this with our friends and family. When we have problems, we tend to blame the other person without understanding them. Thus, we don't know how to take care of them. And that doesn't grow well.
If we try to understand each other like we understand the letters, everything will be better. Thank you.
Thank you. This is mindfulness. Understanding. Mindfulness means understanding. Understanding means mindfulness. And with that understanding, you will feel at home everywhere and no conflict. Anyone? Any group joining them? Okay, we have one more group, okay, because we are running out of time. If anyone wants to share.
William.
Eh? Come on, if you have already prepared. Oh, over there. Okay, please come.
Basically, people believe that resilience stems from being
stems from being optimistic. And the definition of resilience is the ability to recover quickly from a difficult situation. And there is a certain point or limit to optimism. And the being optimistic can sometimes distort your sense of reality and put your hopes too high up. And the rose-colored thinking can actually distort your reality too.
And being too optimistic makes you too relaxed about the situation, so you basically don't care for it. And that also spells disaster.
An example from the text would be experience of a person in a camp where they get tortured and pressured. But then people that are too optimistic never get out because they usually think like Christmas, oh, I'll be out by Christmas. But then after that, there's Thanksgiving and then the 4th of July and all the other holidays where they believe they'll get out, but then in the end they don't, and another year passed already. And and another example would be when a project is due, but you're too optimistic, you're never gonna finish it.
And so in conclusion, being optimistic can ruin your mindfulness and your determination. Thank you.
This is, we have to understand this in the sense of optimism and pessimism. Both of them can be too extreme. So, realism, that one of the early presentation talks about, that's tiger, whether there's tiger, real tiger or not, in the bush, and we should be able to see this. And without seeing, without any evidence, if create a fear, or there's evidence of a tiger being there, but if you tend to ignore that. So the consequence that follow is quite similar to this one. But this talks about resilience as well. So thank you everyone for your presentation. And what else we have to do? I think I promised you another 4 minutes of meditation. We wouldn't have a lot of time, but these 4 minutes, I would like to do this meditation with you. This time is the best meditation ever, I can promise you. I have been talking about this all over the places. It's called 80-20 theory. 80% in your life is going on well, actually very well. 20% needs improving. But you spend 80% of your energy on the 20%. And so by doing that, you're actually multiplying your problem 4 times that it is. Then you only pay 20% attention to your success, which is 80%. By doing so, you're reducing the significance of your success 4 times. So what I'm going to do now is to ask you to rejoice in things you do and you are proud of it. You enjoy it. If you have done, maybe this year, you have done 10 homeworks. You are very happy. You are very happy with 6 of them, 4 of them, okay? You feel so. Then focus on those 6 just to develop positive feeling. People don't usually do this. What occupies their mind is what has not been done. Okay? If you focus on what has not been done, your mind is constantly in the future. In the future. So to bring your mind back to the present, one of the ways of doing this is to focus on things that you have achieved. If you are in grade 9, then you have done, okay, at least 9 years, 10 years, and you have success, you have accomplishments in those years. and you can look back and then be proud of yourself. Of course, being proud of yourself, that's not enough. You need to be proud of, you know, your family members as well. Usually, as family members, your relationship is based on expectation. Your parents expect you to do well in your exam, and you expect your parent to provide you whatever you need. That expectation usually colors the relationship. So now, instead of that, you just focus on things they do well and then be proud of them. So one is just to be think about things that you have done and are proud of it. The second thing, think about the positive thing of your family members that you are proud of. And the fourth one is your best friend. Okay. And the third one, your best friend. So three things. We are going to meditate for 4 minutes. Okay? Just 4 minutes. Breathe in and out slow and gentle. Breathing in, breathing out slow and gentle. You can start thinking about positive things now. minutes now.
Thank you all for joining us today. Let us conclude the class by doing one meritorious deed. We are preparing flowers and water to offer the Buddha. Let us pay homage. You know everyone, right? How to pay homage mindfully, slowly. Pay homage first time to the Buddha, second time, third time, three times, mindfully to the Buddha. First, we will go row by row. Please take all your shoes and slipper at your place. And then take the flower and water and donate to the Buddha. You can recite from your mirror respectfully, offer the flowers and water to the Buddha. And then pay respect and then go back to your home. And if you wish, you can go down and go back to home. Yeah. Bye-bye to everyone. And yeah, see you next year. One by one, please. One more request, a favor, please. Seaduro, and let us take a group photo together in front of the stage. Yeah, please wait for a while. Yeah.
တားတို့တမီတို့ရှိကိုလာလို့ရပြီနော်တပုံရရအောင်ဖိတ်ခေါ်ပါတယ် May I invite you all to join the group photo session
ဒီဘက်ကနေလာလို့ရပါတယ်ခုနကပန်းနဲ့ရေနဲ့ကပ်ပြီးတဲ့သားတွေတမီးတွေဒီကိုကြွရှေ့ကိုကြွပါဘုံဘုံနဲ့ group photo လေးအမှတ်တရရိုက်ပါပါနည်းနည်းလေးကပ်ပြီးတော့ထိုင်မယ်နော်ရတလောက် group photo လေးတွေဖနက်ကလေးတွေချုပ်ခဲ့နော်နောက်ကသားလေးတွေနည်းနည်းနည်းနည်းလေးစောင်းလိုက်စမ်းတလောက်ဝင်လို့ရအောင်လို့နည်းနည်းစောင်းမယ်သမီးတို့ရှေ့လေးနည်းနည်းလေးတိုးလိုက်တို့ပြီးသားလေးတို့ကဒီကြားထဲမှာဒူးထောက်လိုက်သားလေးတို့ကဒီကြားထဲမှာနည်းနည်းပိန်တဲ့ကလေးတွေဝင်လိုက်ဒီကြားထဲမှာဒူးထောက်လိုက်ရှေ့ဒီဘက်ကသားဝင်လိုက်ဒီရှေ့ဝင်လိုက်သားဒီထဲဝင်လိုက်ဒီကြားထဲဝင်လိုက်ဆန့်အောင်လို့ကုန်းသွားမယ်ဘုံဘုံနေရှေ့မှာဟာကတ်လိုက်နည်းနည်းကတ်လိုက်အင်းအမုန်းရှိမှမကွယ်နဲ့တားလေးနည်းနည်းဝင်လိုက်တားဝင်လိုက်အဲတားတို့နည်းနည်းကဒီဘက်ကိုကလို့သေးလို့နည်းနည်းကပောင်းတားလေးတားကဒီမှာသမီးတို့လာလို့ရတယ်ဒီမှာနှစ်ယောက်လွတ်တယ်တားနည်းနည်းကတားနည်းနည်းကသမီးရှိ ው လာခဲ့သမီးဒီမှာထိုင်လိုက်အဲ့မှာထိုင်နင်းနေလေးကလိုက်သမီးနင်းနေကလိုက်သမီးလေးနင်းနေကလိုက်သမီးနင်းနေကညနင်းနေကလိုက်မင်းနင်းနေကဒီမှာတရားဝင်လို့ရတယ်သမီးဒီဘက်ကကျန်သေးလား